Start your day off on the right foot with great local programming on Sunrise from the Center on WRCE.
Welcome to our morning show on WRCO. Today we have some Riverdale professionals with us here in the studios from Riverdale Schools. In fact, Jeff Campbell is here along with Kelly Schaefer, Lynn Terrell, Sherry Wilkinson, and Jesse Kinney joining us in the studio to talk about all the good things going on at Riverdale this year. Well, Jeff, here we go. The school year is already underway.
Yeah, we are. We had a great start to the school year. Our elementary had a great assembly kind of to finish off that first week, led by Jen Mao and Larry Swigum, and just kind of set the expectations and get the kids excited about the year. And then our junior high school also held the assembly for the first full day on that Wednesday and did a little neat intro for all the staff. And they just had some facts about each teacher that probably the kids don't know much about, but just a way, some neat, fun facts about them that I think start those conversations and those relationship building right off. So pretty neat start.
That is an awesome idea. What were some of the fun facts about the principal?
Not sure. No, we don't want to go down that road. No, right now. But it was neat to see some of the stuff teachers put in that really, even you've known these people for a while and you're like, wow, really? You did that? Or, you know, you've done that? Or has that happened in your life? So it was pretty good. We found out that Coach Thompson's learning the guitar. That was one I heard about. So, so that's kind of a step up in his, his world out of the sports world. So
he's starting a band, it sounds like.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess so. Yeah.
Yep. We'll look for that soon. Mm-hmm. We'll put him on the air. What about some other things? You've got a lot of extracurriculars going on. I know the football season, you've had a football game at home, volleyball tonight. So
yeah, we have. So our fall sports are off and kicking. We'll have our first volleyball meet tonight at home. And that's one thing we've implemented this year with our home events is all students are free. And that's something that was new this year and that our school board supported and passed. So all of our students have the opportunity to get out to these events and we encourage it. And it's just kind of one more layer to build that school spirit and kind of remove that boundary if that those cost was an issue so that students get their opportunities to be there. And, you know, it saves families some money and maybe mom and dad will take along too and just gets more interest in our programs. So that'll be our first volleyball home one tonight, and then football will have a home game on Friday. That'll be their second home game, and then our cross country is in action pretty much. They're in action Saturday, Tuesday. They'll be in action again this Saturday, but we have two home events for cross country this year in October that we'll be talking about probably the next time around, including the conference meet. So that's a pretty big event to bring to our area, especially with how well our cross country conference does always in the state level.
Off and running. I don't think it's real typical for schools to let students in free for events. I mean, that's a great thing.
Yeah, it is a great thing. And I think a couple schools in the area have kind of started down that road. It's just we want our kids there and it's a better environment for them to be in than necessarily off doing whatever, you know, and they're there supporting their fellow classmates. And it's a real big thing for our younger kids, I think, to see our older kids in action. And it just builds excitement for our programs and sees our kids in a different realm. And it gets everybody a little more excited about school and being part of that community. And kind of with our theme this year of building relationships within our district, that's another way that we're doing that. So we're allowing that school spirit to happen. We want to take away a barrier of that, get them there. We're all building one big community, one big family, and building those relationships that we want at Riverdale.
I think you wanted to talk a little bit about school lunch.
Yeah, we had some things this year. We had a couple donations with our school lunch program that to help our kids out a little bit. Muscadet Utilities and our Muscadet Lions Club has contributed to our school lunch program in a way as far as a donation to help students that are struggling to kind of pay for the lunches. So we put that into a fund, and when families are in need or we have to kind of clear up some balances, we'll do that. And we really appreciate those organizations coming through and allowing allowing or supporting that endeavor that we have. And it's another situation where our community understands, you know, the situation some of our families are in, and they want our kids to be, you know, to be fed during the day and to feel healthy and happy while they're at school. And that's another big piece of building our community environment.
That's above and beyond free and reduced lunch then?
Yeah, it is. Yep. It just helps a number of people. Maybe they're not, you know, in the free and reduced lunch realm, but right on the edge, or somebody in the free and reduced, not free, but in the reduced realm that can kind of help out too. And they understand that struggle for some families, and they're making best for those kids because they want what's best for our kids in our community.
I know you get great support from the business community, and that happens like for supplies for the schoolrooms too, right?
Yeah, definitely. We had a number of groups that also donated to our supply and room this year, and led by the Lions Club with their Stuff the Bus program, which is well publicized, and they've really donated a good amount of supplies along with a monetary donation. We had the Simonson family, Community First Bank. We had the Blue River Methodist Church. All of these organizations have contributed to our school supplies, and we have random donations and anonymous donations throughout the school year too that come in and just donate things to us to make sure the kids have what they need. And it's a big part of what we want to do within our district to keep that relationship going, but very giving community. We're very fortunate to have them with us.
Earlier this week, we talked about the fall opener for the Muscadet Chamber of Commerce, but the school is certainly served well by the Chamber of Commerce, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. I think this is a big event for our community and for the chamber, and we'll you know, we try to get some of our groups involved. We have kids go down and help with setup, help with serving, and then help with some cleanup. And then the chamber does give some money back to some of those groups and organizations that are willing to help out for those things. So it's very, very nice of them to do that. It's, you know, it's not something that a lot or, you know, a lot of they don't have to do, but they do. They want to get those kids involved, and they want to show that they're, you know, part of this too. But our chamber is a big part of our community, and it's, you know, a backbone of this big event for the fall opener. It's kind of the opening of everything, you know, for the school year, the season. It's just, you know, for them, just kind of a way that they can showcase and give back to, you know, to the community.
Well, you brought some staff members along today. Can you tell us about the staff you brought?
Yeah, we have a great thing at Riverdale. We have educational coaches that we have, and we have three of them in our district. And this is a great support for our staff and our teachers. Without them, you know, it's kind of takes a burden off some of the teachers on certain things that we're doing within our district. Can take a burden off of me. They can kind of have, and our principals, they can kind of designate certain things that are going on throughout the state of Wisconsin, different acts and things that are in place. And they each kind of have their area, which they show that support for our district and our administration and our teaching staff. So, yeah, we have Kelly Schaefer, Lynn Terrell, and Sherry Wilkinson make up that team. And I just wanted to kind of highlight them and show the support that they give for our district and the teaching staff here at Riverdale.
Great. Thanks for bringing them along. We'll put Kelly on the spot first here, if we could. Good morning, Kelly.
Good morning.
Tell us about your role at the school. What is your title?
Okay, my title is Coordinator of Instruction and Technology. That includes, I'm responsible for basically the leadership, the development, and the management of our 4K through 12 curriculum and the technology programming that goes with that. And then in addition to that, I am an instructional coach, which is what Jeff just alluded to. My primary role as an instructional coach is to help with mainly science and social studies in K-12, but also getting the new teachers onboarded. So when we have a new staff or a new teacher to the district, I help onboard them, get them going with all of their programming, and just kind of support them throughout the year as they navigate Riverdale for the first time. And then I help with the junior high and high school math. That's where I started was as a math coach, and I just couldn't give that up. So I do help out at the junior high and high school with math.
Wow. Keeps you busy during the day, it sounds like. But
definitely.
You never get bored, I'm guessing, do you?
I am not bored, no.
How many years have you been with the district?
Oh, boy. I've been there over 10 years. You know that I worked at Ithaca at one time. I also have been at Platteville, but I was at Riverdale and I came back to Riverdale. So I think that says something about Riverdale. I left Platteville to return to Riverdale because I just am passionate about making the place that I grew up and that supported me a great place for our future. So
Yeah, no doubt. Tell me about the AP program.
Okay, so the AP program, another little part of my role is the district assessment coordinator. And in that, AP falls into that because there is assessment in there. So AP has been going strong here for a while now, and we keep building that. Last year, we had over 33% of our seniors took and passed an AP course. So we're really proud about that. We currently this year we have an AP art class, AP US history, AP psychology, AP English lit, which our coworker here, Jessie Kinney, is part of. She helps with that one. And two math classes. We have AP stats and AP calculus. And then we also have AP music theory being offered this year. So it's a wide range for our kids. Great opportunity for them because we do provide the test for them to take at the end of the year. And if they pass that with a 3 or better out of 5, in most cases, then they earn college credit for wherever they're going to go. Two of those programs are also CAP programs. So through UW Oshkosh, they can take a placement test for the math. And if they place into those, then they can earn credits for both stats and AP Calc before they go off to college. So it's a great opportunity for our kids. I'm excited about it.
That's amazing, Kelly. And how things have changed. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, you talk about being college ready. If you go in and you have almost, you know, you could almost have your first year almost taken care of, couldn't
right?
you?
Right. Well, I think we sent a student, and Mr. Campbell might correct me if I'm wrong here, but I think we sent a student with over 60 credits last year.
Wow.
To start at UW-Madison. So that's mm-hmm. pretty phenomenal.
What a good start.
Yes.
It is.
Yeah.
Sounds good. Talk about some other things that you do at Riverdale, Kelly.
Okay, well, I love my team that I work with as instructional coaches. One of the things that the district has entrusted us with is we are able to run some professional development for our staff. That's in addition to the coaching. So we might run some different coaching cycles where we're helping people with a new curriculum. For instance, our K-8 is working on new science curriculum this year. So we'll be in there to support them with that. We also help to choose that with them in a process. But we also get to do like large group professional development. So this year our theme is Every Minute Matters. So we've really been working on like, what is it that makes Every Minute Matters? For our students and also for our staff. So we model that throughout the building. We're very, you know, we really want people to know that we're there for the kids every minute and that it does matter what we are doing throughout the day. We also have PLCs in our buildings, which are professional learning communities. And we kind of, I guess I would say maybe manage or oversee those to help support people as they're making goals. So I'll give an example. We have our fourth grade team, for example, right now has looked at their data and they're saying, okay, I see that maybe a place we could make some improvements on is writing paragraphs. So Lynn Terrell, our reading specialist, will then go in and support them. Once every 6 days, she goes in and they have a meeting about looking at data and how that's kind of like, how are they working on writing these paragraphs? What can we do to support kids while they're writing? And then the three of us look at a lot of data together also. So we're a very data-driven district. So we have many different places that data comes from, and we use that to make high-end decisions about what curriculum we're using, but we also use it to make all the way down to the individual student, like how can we help this particular student with what they still need to learn.
I think that better serves the student population because I think about a student that might be struggling in one area, you can kind of nip some things in the bud, so to speak, can't
exactly.
you?
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And our interventionists will probably, Sherry and Lynn are both interventionists as well, so they'll probably touch on that a little bit about how we do that process and how we get kids help that they need individually.
Every minute matters, though. It's a great
thing. Every minute matters.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, are you still having some early outs during the school year?
So we went last year we started something different where instead of having an early release, we every couple of weeks we're going to like a few different days throughout the year. That's so that we have the whole day to work as a staff, but that also like is a cost saving measure for a district because we're not running buses and those sort of things. So the time hasn't changed that we get to spend together. It's just easier on the district's budget to do it this way. So we do have one. I think our next one's coming up on October 16th, and we have some things planned for that. In addition to the PD, like that we were talking about for Every Minute Matters, I know that one that we're very progressive, I think, in letting our staff tell us like what is it that you need help with. So we do a lot of talking with the staff about what they need help with. And they'll let us know if there's a program that they need help with. And so like on the 16th, we'll be running a Zello training for our staff. And that's a program that we use for career development. So
the teachers learn as well along the way.
They do.
I've been fortunate to be at the last couple of Riverdale Foundation presentations where they give you some money for your classrooms mm-hmm. and everything like that. And for some of the things that I hear about, I'd like to be a mouse in the corner sometimes for some of these programs that are going on.
Yeah, pretty awesome foundation. So we're really lucky to have them support our district.
You don't invite old people from the community to go in and watch or anything, do you?
Oh, sure. You can come in anytime.
Might just do that. Lynn Terrell is with us as well. Good morning, Lynn.
Good morning.
Tell us about your role at Riverdale.
Well, I'm one of the instructional coaches. I focus on literacy. I'm a reading specialist, and part of my day is spent working with staff and some of the things Kelly talked about. And then part of the day, I'm a Title I reading intervention teacher, so I do work with students about half of the day.
Tell us about, I know there have been some new initiatives that have been coming down from the state, Riverdale adapting those.
Yes. So the focus is on early literacy across the state, and some of the mandates require some professional development training. And those things are have been in place the last two summers. So we've been meeting over the summers to get that professional development finished in our district. And then, you know, as we're starting the school year, we're working on putting some of those best practices into place in our classrooms. And that's really focusing on 4K through about third grade.
Mm-hmm. So the early years,
right.
Getting them started at the right, on the right step. And obviously seeing a problem there early on and maybe correcting it quickly if you can then. So.
Yes, I think the overall goal across the state is to make sure that we're, you know, getting that intervention and that help to our earliest learners as soon as possible. And we as a district have been doing that for a number of years, but this whole process is just helping us maybe fine tune some of the things that we could and using some new assessment tools and things like that. So we're working on putting all those pieces into place to meet those requirements and really just delivering instruction to kids that they need when they need it.
How important is it to encourage kids to read?
Well, that is important. Motivation is a really key factor, I think, sometimes in literacy instruction, too. And through one of those foundation grants, I was able to get some funds to continue this Book Fairy project. So not only do I wear those other hats in the district, but I'm also known as the Book Fairy, which the younger kids are really enjoying. I already started that this fall with our kindergarten students, and they were just excited to have that Book Fairy come visit again from last year. They remember me, and so it's been really fun. And just exposing them to other types of books and genres that they might not typically want to pick up. So.
What is the most favorite book of those kindergartners? Is there one particular author or one particular title that goes really well?
Actually, when they're younger, they love all books.
All books.
Yeah, they're pretty excited. It doesn't seem to matter what I choose to bring in that day. They're just so excited to engage in, reading with someone else. So.
And the illustrations are important, too, at that
Absolutely.
Age.
Absolutely. In the younger grades, they are really important. In the older grades, we tend to do like first chapter Fridays or, you know, a visit when I come in is to sort of introduce them to the book, you know, give them a little hook, and then they're really excited to be the book winner that week and get a chance to read that book themselves.
We've talked about it on this program before about finding something that you're interested in, you know, to keep kids motivated. And you probably encourage that, too, to find a subject or a topic, whether it's hunting or whatever, to get them going. Then, right,
right. Right. Last year, I think one of the books I chose focused either on wrestling or basketball during that season, just because it's something that, you know, some of those other students that might not want to pick up a book might be tempted to pick up a book about something they're interested in. So try to spread the kind of books that I choose across, you know, different genres, different types. Mystery is always a good one, too.
You know, reading is important. You know, a lot of people are going to see it digitally, but you still want them to hold that book in their hand, I'm sure, don't you?
We do. There's... you know, any way they choose to read is probably okay, but it's always a little more, there seems to be a little more engagement when you have a physical book in your hands, so.
And I'm guessing you encourage parents, because parents reading to their kids, that's a great thing, isn't it?
Absolutely, absolutely. Just that oral language development that happens before they even get to our doors, coming through the school doors, is really important. So anytime they're reading at home is a big plus.
Anything else you'd like to add about that today, Lynn?
I do. We do offer some other enrichment opportunities, I guess I would say. So following up with the Book Fairy project there. As the kids get older, we can involve them in things like competitions called Lit Wars and Battle of the Books. And we also try to provide young author events that we get to go to sometimes. So there's opportunities from early on all the way through.
Sounds like a lot of fun. Absolutely. We'll come back and talk more about Riverdale Schools and some of the great things going on during the new school year. Thanks to Kelly Schaefer and Lynn Terrell. And coming up, we'll talk to Sherry Wilkinson and Jesse Kinney. And we might even get Jeff Campbell back in here, if he will, when the morning show continues. We are talking about all the great things going on at Riverdale Schools. Now, welcome back to our morning show. Sherry Wilkinson is here to join us next. Sherry, tell us a little bit about what you do at the school.
Yeah, so I transitioned to a new role a few years ago after teaching first grade for 13 years. I now am a math instructional coach for our elementary and then a math interventionist where I get the opportunity to work with kids.
Okay. Do you miss the classroom or are you still in the classroom a little bit?
My heart is still in the classroom. I love what I do now. I feel like my impact is a little more broad now. I get to help teachers, which then, you know, impacts kids. But I think that afternoon where I get to work with kids still, it fills my heart enough. And I do take any opportunity to get into the classroom, even if it's just to kind of walk around and watch, and it makes me happy.
Is it all levels of math that you're involved in?
So I am in the elementary, so I work with 4K through 6th grade, specifically with math instruction. And then as a coaching team, we kind of, we work with teachers on all things teaching, you know, the art of teaching, just there to serve as a support system for anything that they need as you know, new teachers come in and kind of learn the ways, and then old teachers who maybe need a reminder about their passion or new things coming out, best practices.
With math, I think sixth grade was when the kids finally lost me, you know? So, I mean, after that, they were on their own, basically.
I will say, I do love math, but once we get to the higher levels, I'm more there as a sounding board and maybe not, you know, helping them with the skills. But, yeah, we have a great math teaching staff at Riverdale, and Kelly is sure an expert in that area, so she's always willing to step in.
Tell me about the Queen of Tens.
Oh, so, you know, of all the roles and hats that I wear, besides being a mom, I think this is my favorite. So in kindergarten, I am known as the Queen of Tens, and I have an outfit that I wear, and I make a visit every 10th day of school. And it really helps the kids to learn that base 10 system. And after, I'm like a local celebrity. I mean, in the hallways, I don't know that kids even know that my name is Mrs. Wilkinson. I am just the queen. And I'll be even out in public at Walmart and I'll hear, "It's the queen." And then I also, you know, have to remind people at my house when I go home that I am the queen. And that is my preferred name.
Your costume must not disguise you enough, though. They see
Well, you know, first grade comes around, and these kids that knew me as the queen in kindergarten, the first couple times they see me come into the room, I get this look, and it's like now they know that I thought you were the queen. No, well, I am, but I'm also Mrs. Wilkin.
They see behind the curtain a little bit, yeah, don't they? Oh, that's fun. What about math coaching duties? I guess you talked about that a little bit, but could you expound on that somewhat?
Yeah, so our focus is on, you know, just being there to support teachers in whatever realm they need. So Kelly kind of touched on this. Our teaching staff is wonderful, and they often come to us and they say, "Hey, I really want to improve. My math stations aren't looking the way that I want them to. What are some ideas?" And that's the point in the conversation where our coaching duties, like, do you just want me to hear you? Or do you want some help? Do you want some advice? And that might look like going into your room and co-teaching with you for a while, or just researching some best practices or strategies, or sometimes getting that teacher into a teammate's classroom. Oh, it's going really well in this other classroom. I'll come cover your class while you go over there and watch to see, and just spark some ideas. So we help a lot in that way. And then also just looking at data and deciding what best practices we can put into place to improve student achievement.
Okay. Does Riverdale have a math team?
So I think in the high school there is a math team. In the fourth and fifth graders have an opportunity to compete in a math 24 tournament throughout the year, and that's pretty fun. So it's a team of four kids, and 24 is a math game that the kids learn how to play. And then we have the opportunity to go to CESA and compete against other schools from the area in a 24 tournament. So it's kind of like a little taste of what the math team will be like once they get over to our junior high and high school.
I see. That's fun. And I was on the math team once too, but I was more of a locker room guy. You know, say, hey, good job, guys. What about STEM Club? Can you tell us about that, Sherry?
Sure, yeah. Another role that I have is to kind of offer some enrichment opportunities in our district. So last year we started with a foundation grant. We were awarded the super grant. So we had over $1,000 to get a STEM club up and running. We offered it to fifth through eighth graders, and we met on Monday nights. And I will be the first to say that I have a passion for STEM, but I don't know a lot about it, but the kids do. And we had robotics, and we had coding systems that we just put in front of them. And on Monday nights, it was amazing to see just the curiosity and the exploration that went on. And that is something that we're going to run again this year for our fifth through eighth graders. Another enrichment opportunity that we had, we participated in an energy competition last year. It was called KEEP. And we received a grant to install, it was called an e-gauge, on our electrical system at the school. And it would monitor our electric usage to the minute, actually to the second. You could see the graph go up and down. And then our students had a 6-week window where we had to implement actions to try to decrease our electrical usage throughout the day. And we competed against schools all over the state. And we were, as a first year competitor, we placed second place in the state for that spring competition. So that was pretty cool.
What were some things you did? Shut off the lights during certain times?
Yeah. Or? So the kids, implemented a light initiative where they made little like reminders that went by the light switches. The kids designed them. They were in charge of placing them throughout the school, and the teachers in the building really jumped on board with it. The kids got really involved. We actually ran one of the actions that we could do to earn points was to have a school-wide competition with lights. And so we had our team out in the hallways, and anytime a classroom wasn't in there, if their lights were off, they received a point. And we ran it for a week, and it was really fun. Everyone got really into it. So we did a light initiative, and also another way that we earned points, we pinpointed a peak time in our day when we saw a spike in our energy usage. And it happened to be during recess when the doors would open and shut a lot. And we figured out that our HVAC system was having to kick on to maintain the temperature. So then our team decided they were going to kind of monitor those doors and make the kids pile up before they opened to let them out for recess. So that was a cool thing too.
That's awesome to make them energy aware. Yes, like that. Yep. Because most of us never think about those.
Yeah,
kind of
it was
things.
Very cool. And actually Tim Redmond, our head of grounds, he thought it was awesome too. He had that e-gauge up on his computer, and he was racking his brain trying to figure out ways that he could help decrease our energy usage too. So everyone was loving it.
Yeah, that's awesome. And talking about working with robots and things like that, I know there are competitions there too, but those kind of things fascinate me.
Yeah, it is fascinating. And I love to watch because, I mean, these kids, they can learn how to code robots so quickly. And you know, when they ask me, they get stuck on something, and it's kind of a good learning opportunity because I can honestly say, I don't know. You're going to have to trial and error. But it is really neat. And we've been really fortunate to use that foundation grant to buy some cool robotic systems.
That's awesome. We're going to talk a little bit about homecoming as well. Jesse Kinney is here. That's kind of your area of expertise. Good morning, Jesse.
Good morning. It is. We have all these wonderful academic-focused people, and then I get to come in and be the socialite here and work on our school climate and bringing in some of the fun to kind of balance that out.
Well, homecoming is coming up at the end of this month, then, am I right?
It is. September 23rd through the 27th is our homecoming week with our dance on that Saturday. So okay. It is fast approaching.
What is the theme this year?
This year we are a night in New York. So I'm intrigued to see how we're going to turn some floats into meeting this theme for our competitions. But the kids, they always come up with something, so...
It's fairly typical, I'm sure, the time that Riverdale usually has homecoming, but it doesn't give you a lot of time when school starts to get rolling with this, does it?
It doesn't. This is actually okay. We've had some years in the past where I feel like it was the second week of school and that was really pushing it. But this year, I feel like we have also figured out some systems. We've kind of maintained our same scheduling. The kids are familiar with their roles, their responsibilities, and now they're pretty much ready to roll. We are almost completely ready.
Stay tuned for the second half of today's morning show program on Sunrise from the Center on WRCE. Coming up, though, in just a moment, we'll have a look at today's news.
Parade on Sunday. Visit Main Street, where you'll find vendors, live music, food, and fun for all ages. At the county fairgrounds, there's the Carnival Flea Market Arts and Crafts Show that will feature nearly 100 vendors, offering antiques, crafts, collectibles, and fabulous food. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, September 27th through the 29th. Applefest in Gays Mills.
The Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service will host a Plan and Protect for Today and Tomorrow seminar on Wednesday, September 18th in Richland Center and Thursday, September 19th in Muscadet. We encourage people to sign up and attend the seminars to learn how to make a plan which makes the final decisions easier for your loved ones. This is a wonderful opportunity to learn how making simple choices can be one of the greatest gifts you can give to those you love. If you have questions or would like to sign up, please contact us at the Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service. We look forward to seeing you at the Plan and Protect for Today and Tomorrow seminar.
WRCO 100.9 FM, Richland Center.
News Time is sponsored by Boscobel Pharmacy and Center Pharmacy, or full-service pharmacies, caring for you and about you, and by BL Signs for your business signage needs. Today's forecast calls for a high of 86 with sun and a few clouds, remaining very warm. South to southeast winds at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, a few clouds and patchy fog, a low of 58. Tuesday, mostly sunny and very warm again with a high of 85. 55 currently in Richland Center.
Boscobel Pharmacy and Center Pharmacy are working hard to give you great service. The pharmacists and staff want you to feel good and to feel good about your pharmacy. You can trust Boscobel Pharmacy and Center Pharmacy, where local people who know and care about you are always willing to take the time to answer your questions. Experience the difference, safety, and convenience at Boscobel Pharmacy and the Center Pharmacy on Orange Street in Richland Center.
From the Civic Media News Desk, I am Phil Nee, and here is what you need to know. Wisconsin 130 at the Wisconsin 133 intersection across the river to Porter Road in Lone Rock, Iowa, Richland, Sauk counties will be closed today through September 30th for the Wisconsin 130 North tie-in roadway construction to be conducted safely and efficiently. The posted east detour will utilize Wisconsin 130, Wisconsin 23, and U.S. 14. Through Spring Green. The west detour route will utilize Wisconsin 133, Wisconsin 80, Wisconsin 60, and U.S. 14 through Muscadet. Nearly $30 million in federal American Rescue Plan funding is allocated for projects to increase internet access in Wisconsin. 11 projects are being funded through the State Public Service Commission's Digital Connectivity and Navigators Program that will allow more than 50,000 households to receive a loaned device and over 30,000 to access free Wi-Fi. The largest recipient, United Way of Wisconsin, will get just under $16.5 million to distribute devices. Governor Tony Evers' office says since launching in 2019, the program has assisted more than 410,000 households and businesses. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources stresses hunters knowing their target this deer bow season. Elk zone biologist Christina Kazuski says elk are typically quite a bit larger than adult deer. Elk are about 1 to 2 feet taller than adult deer at the shoulder height. An elk calf would be at this time of year about the same size as an adult white-tailed doe, but displays different coloration. Visit the DNR's website for a species identification tool and other hunting tips. A fatal collision between a motorcyclist and a bear. Just before midnight on Friday, Lincoln County deputies found 50-year-old Paul Bowman of Marshfield dead on Highway 51 in the town of Merrill. A preliminary investigation indicates Bowman's cycle was southbound when he struck a bear. It's not yet known if alcohol or speed were factors. The weekend's annual Tomahawk Fall Ride brought thousands of bikers to that area. A state senator is banned from the Lac du Flambeau Chippewa Tribe's northern Wisconsin reservation over comments she made at a meeting. At an August 23rd meeting on the ongoing dispute between the tribe and the town of Lac du Flambeau over continued road closures on tribal lands, State Senator Mary Felskowski said giving money to the tribe to end the dispute would be similar to giving in to terrorists. In the banishment notice, Tribal President John Johnson said Felskowski's comments are damaging negotiations and harmful to the tribe. Felskowski responded with her own message to the media, saying she doesn't regret making the comments, but she does regret the language she used. She said Johnson should just contact her next time, and she had no plans to visit the reservation anyway. Human remains found near Two Rivers are those of a missing three-year-old. Two Rivers Police Chief Ben Meinert made the confirmation during a press conference Friday afternoon. A skull and some bones were found by a landowner getting his land ready for hunting season in a thick wooded area with heavy underbrush. Meinert says the area was searched before. The missing child's case now becomes a death investigation. No new charges have been announced in the missing toddler's death. However, Elijah's mother, Katrina Bauer, and her boyfriend, Jesse Vang, remain in the Manitowoc County Jail on child neglect charges stemming from previous incidents. Meinert finished the press conference thanking members of Wisconsin DCI, churches, and local search groups for their efforts. The focus of the presidential campaign remains on Wisconsin. Republican vice presidential candidate Ohio Senator J.D. Vance will be in Eau Claire Tuesday. Democratic vice presidential candidate Minnesota Governor Tim Walz visited Wausau on Friday. Walz called on supporters to do voter engagement and get people to the polls in November to show that democracy is the right way to go. Walz campaigned in key states following last week's debate between Vice President Kamala Harris and former President Donald Trump. Vance's Eau Claire stop comes amid a firestorm of criticism over false statements Trump has amplified targeting Haitian immigrants in Springfield, Ohio. Wisconsin Legislative Study Committee on Artificial Intelligence continues its work. The panel met in Wausau last week, where committee chair State Senator Julian Bradley explained some of the challenges surrounding the rapidly emerging technology. Bradley said those include guarding against government overreach and protecting privacy and data. The bipartisan committee includes lawmakers and stakeholders and has had several meetings focused on different areas of AI. Additional meetings will be scheduled. Different paths forward for bus rapid transit in Wisconsin's two biggest cities. Madison's first BRT line is set to begin operating next week. The new rapid route A will run in dedicated lanes on an east-west route approximately every 15 minutes. Two additional routes will branch off to serve the local stops as well. All three will be served by new 60-foot articulated all-electric buses. In Milwaukee County, where the 9-mile east West Connect 1 BRT has been running between downtown Milwaukee and Wauwatosa since April. Officials announced last week that budget constraints have pushed off a planned North-South Connect 2 route for at least a decade.
BL Signs is a full-service sign design company in Richland Center. They specialize in manufacturing all types of interior and exterior signage for all applications to meet the client's needs. They offer internally lighted extruded aluminum sign cabinets, post and panel signs, non-lighted acrylic letters, LED lighted channel letters of all types and sizes, printed in solid color vinyl lettering, and graphics. Call BL Signs at 647-0149 and see what they can do for you. BL Signs, Richland Center.
A high in the mid to upper 80s today. Some sun mixed with a few clouds, remaining very warm. And a warm breeze, south-southeasterly direction at 5 to 10 miles per hour. A few clouds and patchy fog tonight, a low of 58. Tuesday, mostly sunny, very warm again, a high of 85. And Wednesday, plenty of sunshine and warm, with a high in the low 80s. In Richland Center, yesterday we tapped out at 89 degrees. And the morning low today is the current reading. We're down to 55 degrees with some patchy light fog today.
Hey neighbor, have you ever heard of Bug Tussle? No?
Well, listen up.
Bug Tussle Internet is a Wisconsin-based internet provider that's committed to providing internet to many of our rural areas. Yes, Bug Tussle. What a great name and a great price for internet, starting at just $45 per month. But hurry, this offer ends September 30th. Get details now at btussle.com. That's btussel.com. Your neighbor has Bug Tussle. You should too.
Wilkinson Auctions is proud to present the Hillsboro Area Equipment Consignment Auction, Wednesday, September 18th at the Hillsboro Auction Yard. We have a huge selection of tractors, combines, harvest equipment, skid loaders, trucks, trailers, and more. This is a live auction with online bidding available. We're taking consignments of quality equipment up until Monday, September 16th. The Hillsboro Area Equipment Consignment Auction, Wednesday, September 18th at the Hillsboro Auction Yard. More info at WilkinsonAuctions.com.
Sports Time at 20 minutes before 7 is sponsored by the Homesteaders Store, Southern Wisconsin's tractor experts. Coming up, a look at the local and area sports scene, details on a Brewer loss and a Packers win on Sunday coming up.
A Kubota tractor will help you get all those jobs done fast and easy. Hi, I'm Rick from the Homesteader Store. Kubota is known for their high-quality four-wheel drive diesel tractors. They have hydrostatic transmissions, loaders, and three points. They offer great financing. You can go to our website where you can watch a short video where I go through the different sizes of Kubota tractors to fit your needs. Learn about the full line of Kubota tractors at Southern Wisconsin Tractor Experts, the Homesteader Store.
Over the weekend, the River Valley Invitational Cross Country Meet was held. Nacita was the top team in the varsity small schools. Boscobel was runner-up, led by Bodie Bright, their top runner, 17th overall. Riverdale was 5th. Lakota Brewer finished 13th, leading the Chieftains in that small school division. Also, for the girls, Riverdale's team was 10th. Mallory Meese finished 11th overall in the running on Saturday. Boscobel was 5th. Nora Gilson was the 2nd overall runner, leading the Bulldogs. In the large school division, Richland Center Ithaca was 14th. Grace Fretz finished 37th, their top runner. River Valley was 16th as a team. Brielle Grant was their top runner and was 26th in the meet. Madison West was the top school. Dodgeville Mineral Point finished 3rd. And for the boys, Richland Center Ithaca was 11th overall. Clayton Lee ran 47th. He was the top finisher for RCI. River Valley was 20th as a team. Their top runner was Nathan Hamilton on the day. The top overall boys large school division team was Madison La Follette. Dodgeville Middle Point finished 5th. They were led by Lane Orrett, who was 6th. On today's high school schedule, the Ithaca Bulldogs will be at Bangor for a JV football game. Riverdale with a JV game at Waseca Steuben Seneca today in Waseca. Richland Center with varsity soccer action taking on Mauston, and JV football against Lancaster. And River Valley's JV football team will be at Broadhead. For the Packer fans filling Lambeau Field yesterday at the home opener, the game looked a lot like the 1960s. Green Bay kept the ball on the ground in a 16-10 victory over the Colts. Running back Josh Jacobs rushed 32 times for 151 yards, and reserve quarterback Malik Willis was efficient, and his game got done, throwing 12 of 14 passes for 122 yards and one touchdown.
You don't know, but you just continue to work until you get that opportunity. I mean, the last opportunity I got to start a game was my rookie year. And, you know, I wasn't where I wanted to be as far as the offense went or just where I was playing NFL football, you know, as a rookie. And, you know, you don't control that, and it's a results-based business, and that's just what it is. But I just continue to try to work until I get another opportunity, and just so happy. And it came this week.
The team travels to Nashville next week to take on the Tennessee Titans. Other action from yesterday, Houston defeated Chicago last night, 19-13. Pittsburgh 13, Denver 6. Kansas City 26-25 over Cincinnati. Arizona beat the Rams 41-10. Washington 21, the Giants 18. Tampa Bay 20, Detroit 16. Seattle beat New England 23-20 in overtime. New Orleans 44, Dallas 19. The Jets 24-17 over Tennessee. Minnesota 23-17 over San Francisco. Las Vegas 26, Baltimore 23. The Chargers 26-3 over Carolina. And Cleveland 18-13 against Jacksonville. For the Brewers, a loss yesterday after a two-run triple by Jackson Chourio gave the Brewers a lead. Arizona won in a walk-off by scoring three times without making an out in the bottom of the 10th inning Sunday. Rookie Jackson Chourio had a single, home run, and that triple drive in five, but Milwaukee still lost the game 11-10. Elsewhere yesterday, Dodgers 9-2 over Atlanta. The Cubs beat Colorado 6-2, the final score. And Toronto tops St. Louis 3-2 as well in interleague play. The Badgers made too many mistakes while losing a one-sided football game to fourth-rated Alabama 42-10 on Saturday. Here is Ches Malusi.
Depends on who you're asking. For me, no, because I want to go out there and play. You know, I don't really like having a bad...
For homecoming a week early now. As far as the classes met yesterday, they've started talking skits. They've started planning where they're float building. So we're getting better at getting prepared earlier.
So give us a little bit of a time frame then, you can, when everything's going to be happening that week.
Yeah, so Monday and Tuesday, we get our kids out in the community, and each class is responsible for different businesses, and they go out and window paint, and they have specifications. Like, they get judged on the theme, the color, the number of kids participating, and then they do that for Monday, Tuesday morning. They start working on skits because we do that. We film that now and have like a live movie showing later in the week. And the Monday and Tuesday, doing that during the school hours has allowed us to make sure more kids are involved. The only thing that's completed outside of our school hours is our float building. And they actually usually start that on Sunday night. And that's helped some because a lot of our kids are involved in multiple activities. So trying to get that done during the week when we have, you know, volleyball and football and any other things going on, cross country is running, it's hard to get those kids together. So Monday and Tuesday, we get out in the community, we paint windows, we do chalk outside by the football field. They start filming. And then later in the week, we have student council activities on Thursday for both our junior high and our high school kids. And then on Friday, we have a whole district assembly where we pile everybody into the elementary building and we do class cheers, which is maybe my favorite thing for the entire week, when you get to hear all like the 4K cheering and chanting their graduation year. And it's fun to watch our upperclassmen lead and go over there and help them because it's confusing yet and it's fast for them, but they go and help, and then it's just the best. Like, it's goosebumps every year. And then we have our parade at 2:00 on Friday with our football game following that night and the dance on Saturday.
So I'm trying to think, the 4K, what would they be chanting? Is that 20? No,
math people. What do we got here? I have no idea.
What is it, Kelly? 34, 33.
So they a lot of times will say it, say 3-4, say 3-4, say 3-3-3-3-3-3-4. So it's a mouthful for those little ones to get out, but they do a great job, and I think they get more excited after they see like the big kids run over to help them, and they're not intimidated by them, and it's really fun, and it sets the tone for, like, I know it's the end of the week, but it kind of gets them going, and hopefully makes them more likely to say hi to some of those kids when they see them in their jerseys, and just get them excited about being at Riverdale.
It's a nice parade too, down Wisconsin Avenue, and if anybody wants to be a part of it, they can, right?
Absolutely. If you are interested in that, please call the high school. Tanner Williamson is in charge this year. He will gladly take any and all entries. And it's a great parade. Our students are involved. Our bands are involved. We have a decent amount of floats, but we will always take more floats to make that better. Our school loves it. And it's great when we do it during the day because doing it on the weekend, I don't know how many kids would be able to get there.
Are you saying 38?
We're going to change our answer.
38?
The four carriers will graduate in 2038.
Oh, that's even worse.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. 38. All right. You know, and you talked about the skits, too. A lot of times as a teacher, you know that you've made an impact when they're impersonating you at the skits, right?
Yes. We do our best to say that you do not get bonus points for imitating staff, but they've done a good job about being able to positively portray staff tendencies. I will say that. So okay. That's a good way to put it. But they've done a really good job. It's been fun to see as they're far better than I at iMovie and editing techniques and where they come up with filming and how creative they are. So every year it's been very exciting. I mean, it follows the volleyball match on Thursday night, so it can be a late night, which also is great because it impedes their toilet papering time as well. So it's a double bonus. But yeah, the skits, they've done a really great job. And there are many staff appearances. And I even feel like we've had, I doubt Mr. Campbell, even though he's now not in our high school building, I'm pretty certain he'll probably still make an appearance in many of the skits.
Thinking he will. Yeah, exactly. Show him a lot of respect there. Mm-hmm. So what is your role at the school? I didn't ask you that at the outset.
I am a special education case manager and teacher. I co-teach some English classes. Just like everybody else, I get to wear many different hats. I now, you know, we have the Book Fairy and the Queen of Tens. I got to come up with something for myself for homecoming as well now, because I feel like this is my week, but mine's only a week. You guys get the whole year. So.
And your volleyball coach as well.
Yep. And I get to coach a wonderful group of young ladies. So.
And good luck tonight.
Thank you.
You bet, against Fenimore. Jeff, anything that you'd like to add here at the end to kind of cap off our broadcast about Riverdale? I know you've scheduled to come on with us each month, and you brought along some very capable people here today.
Yeah, I think that's going to be kind of our theme moving forward, is we're going to have a number of staff members, number of people that will be coming along with me to kind of just talk about the great things we do at Riverdale and to highlight the people that work here, because it's a team approach, as I said a couple months ago, and it's been a team approach in the past. That's just kind of what Riverdale is and was built with the people that were here before us, and we're going to continue that moving forward. So I want to highlight those people and the tremendous work they do, especially these four. We wouldn't be as successful as we are in a number of areas without the work that these people put in. With this homecoming week, I said that was one thing when I was principal about 5 years ago. It's like I walked in and I met with Jesse and I was like, all right, we're good to go. You know, there wasn't a whole lot that I had to worry about. And so that's what people do at Riverdale. And that's what we kind of pride ourselves on, is everybody picks each other up and plays their role. And that's what makes us so successful.
Sounds good. Thanks for coming in today.
You bet. Thank you.
You bet. Jeff Campbell, a superintendent at Riverdale, along with Kelly Schaefer and Lynn Terrell, Sherry Wilkinson, and Jesse Kinney.
Many people aren't aware that Richland County has an organization similar to Big Brothers Big Sisters. For 35 years, Kinship of Richland County has made hundreds of matches between carefully screened adults and local children who need some extra attention. I'm Michelle Nolan-Karras, the director of Kinship. Occasionally, relationships don't work out, but it's amazing how often they do. Having a mentor can improve a child's self-confidence and help them succeed at school and in life. The mentor benefits from these matches, too. Often they last for years and continue into adulthood. If you would like to become a volunteer or refer a child, please contact us at 608-475-2886 or email us at kinshiprc@gmail.com. Donations to Kinship can be mailed to P.O. Box 51, Richland Center, Wisconsin. Your gift is tax deductible and much appreciated.
Tom Mueller from Mueller Implement is our guest on WRCO Radio. Well, you know, it's not official on the calendar, but I think, Tom, we can call it fall, can't we?
Oh, I would if I were you. If you pay attention to the trees, a lot of different varieties of trees are dropping their leaves fairly fast. And in the next week to 3 weeks, you're going to see leaves fall like snow, and you're going to wonder, what am I going to do with all those leaves? So a lot of people are taking some action. They're buying baggers for their zero turns, and, of course, they're turning around and buying handheld tools like handheld blowers or backpack blowers. And it's a good time to do it because Mueller Implement's got 10% off on all of our handheld items. So literally from saws to pole saws to blowers to you name it, electric or gas, they're 10% off all the way to the end of the year. So if you're thinking about this fall, that's great. Or if you're thinking about for Christmas, which is a long ways off, but you know, Phil, every time you and I talk, we're getting closer to something. So key here is to understand that Miller Upman handles only quality lines. We're a Husqvarna dealer. We also handle Gravely and Aarons. We handle Landmaster, which is a UTV line out of Indiana, and we handle the Wacker-Neuson line. And Wacker-Neuson, for the most part, all of that we handle currently is made in the United States in Milwaukee. So we are an American-made company strictly handling that product. And literally, when we say that, we talk about quality. We're not a mass marketplace. We buy as good as mass market and sometimes even better. That allows us to do these discounts that a lot of people are seeing. And yes, my counter dealers can't compete against me because of the volume that we do fill. But you know what? If you're going to win the game, you have to have a plan. And for me, it's passing on the savings to my customers, giving them great service, and making them number one, not necessarily me. It's all about the end customer, making sure he gets good value, good quality, and great service.
Well, you've done that over the years, or people wouldn't keep coming back to see you, I would think.
Well, you know, Phil, we started our 51st year.
Wow.
So we are been here a long time. A lot of people have been here with me for 30 years or better. It's so important to understand that the culture here has not changed since day one. I'm a farm kid. I came here, started a business, and understood the most important person walking through that door was the customer. And I treated him as if it was my parents or any of my relatives. As far as I'm concerned, when you walk through that door, you want to be part of my family. And I think that's very important because I need to treat you that way. And a lot of places don't do that. I understand that. That's on them. So sad. Because when you walk into anybody's business, they should be honored that you're there. So we're not hard to find. We're here at 4948 Highway YZ, right across from Midwest Roofing. And, of course, those little guys, Farm and Fleet, the lights are on this morning, so I think they're going to make it again, Phil.
Good.
We're open from 8 to 5 Monday through Friday, 8 to noon on Saturday, and if you go to www.MuellerRental.com, that is our internet site, you'll see a ton of things there. Go to Craigslist on the left-hand side, punch in Mueller, and you'll see all of your used. And by the way, it's the end of the season, so we've got some great deals going on there. But better yet, give me a holler at 935-2751. And if you don't walk through that door, you probably paid too much somewhere else.
Sounds good, Tom. Always good to talk to you. Have a great weekend.
You're great. You as well. And to all, we're going to have a great fall.
In their Westview Assisted Living community, we are fully staffed and prepared to care for your loved ones with the dignity and respect they deserve. When only the highest quality of care will do, remember Schmidt Woodland Hills. Call Westview manager Bobby Stoltz at 608-647-8931 with questions or for more information.
Good morning from WRCO Radio. Good luck getting there and winning your fortune today. It's 55 in Richland Center, and this is Sammy Kershaw.
Nothing so precious as a firstborn child.